Strike and Spare Family Fun Center Studio. It's the Bill King Show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get it, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a Wolverine purr.
I'd be sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day for the United States of America.
It's the Bill King Show.
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock!
That's what we call a sack lunch.
They do have a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
Pick Six Previews. He is a person who puts in the time. He is a dude who absorbs it. He's a guy who aspires to get his PhD every day. Every day. So we'll have him on to talk college football. Week 9 coming up. And yes, we are entering the sodium pentothal stretch here, where the truth is revealed. I like that. We get on the field and the scoreboard becomes even more of the judge, jury, and executioner. That's a good time. Now, the sad part is we're also hitting a stretch where we're getting towards the latter stages of the regular season. That is not good news. I don't want to hear that. Matter of fact, I should put myself in timeout or give myself a demerit for even thinking that way. No, I do not want to face reality. I do not want to face the thought that the stretch here, later October, November, is the last part of the regular playing portion of the season. I do not want to face that reality. Maybe if I don't think about it, it'll just go away and it won't be true. Let's try that. But no, we've got some interesting matchups coming up. Looking forward to that. And, Blake Ruffino. That's right. We'll go down to the boot. We'll go down from Pennsylvania down to Louisiana. Blake Ruffino will be with us. And he will talk some LSU and some college football with us. That's the lay of the land today. That's the guesting today. The F&M Bank hotline, 615-844-5600. That's the number if you'd like to dial us up on Twitter, at Bill is King. You can email the show. And some people prefer that way. BillisKing7@gmail.com. And then on Facebook. Yeah, on Facebook. My least favorite, but I'm trying. Yeah, I'm trying. Bill King would be one on Facebook. Bill is King would be one, another, on Facebook, or the Bill King Show. I think there's three of them there. I don't know why. I have no explanation for that, but whichever one you choose, if you want to communicate that way, we can do it and be a big, happy family. From the Strike and Spare Studios, the Wilco kiosk location, couple things and then I'll get a call. Did you see Mike Tomlin yesterday? I told you. Whoever put out, and I don't know who it was, that Mike Tomlin, heck, I think Carson Palmer might have been one of them. Carson Palmer, that watch out Mike Tomlin. Why would a longtime NFL coach, successful coach, making tens of millions of dollars in what's an incredibly stable organization, the Steelers. Why would he want to? And again, I'm a college guy. You gave me the choice. Hell no, I wouldn't want to coach in the NFL. I'd want to be in college. But pro guys don't think like that, right? Why would an established, wealthy, stable situation, why would Mike Tomlin want to jump into any college job where now you have to go beg spoiled brat 18-year-olds to come play for you? Who now get to go sell their name, image, likeness and put money in their pocket. So they're even more spoiled than previously. Now, again, that's the environment I prefer. I mean, I'm a college guy. I don't watch Sundays. But pro guys, they don't want to get into all that. They don't want to get into recruiting and that whole mess. And yesterday, the media asked him about it, and he got a little temperamental. That's Tomlin's typically not like that. And he's a stern guy, but he's not a real screamer guy, like to the media, right? He's pretty steady. He's to the point. But he's pragmatic. He's reasonable. Yesterday, he didn't get heated, but he took it up a notch or two and basically said, that's the craziest, dumbest thing I've ever heard. Now, I'm paraphrasing. It's not the term to use, but in essence, that was the translation. That's and again, a former player on the college and pro level put that out there, among other people. I don't know who all put that out there, but that was absolutely wild why somebody would mention Mike Tomlin. Yeah, I think Belichick is looking at the LSU job. Yeah, I'll put that out there this morning. Go ahead and quote me on that. One other one, and then we'll get the call. Tom, Ohio State. Bill, I'd like to see, and he's in Myrtle Beach, I'd like to see the committee and also the networks panic. What if, at the end of the season, regular playing portion, Cincinnati's 12-0, Wake is 12-0, Wake plays a championship game, but anyways, undefeated Cincy, undefeated Wake, undefeated Oklahoma, Ohio State, Bama, Georgia, and Oregon all have one loss. So he's saying, what if Georgia loses somewhere here down the stretch? What will the committee do? He says, will they leave out Cincinnati or Wake Forest and Oregon? And Oregon would have at the head-to-head over Ohio State. Head-to-head hasn't always prevailed. Ohio State, Penn State a couple of years ago was one. There's other examples of it. I'm just going to throw that one out there, though. That's not always the arbiter. And if we get into something like that, that'll be fun. And that will, for you expansionists, and there are many out there, that will help your debate. Now, you're going to get your expansion regardless of a mess like this. But that would be, you know what, that's good radio. So, messy is not bad. Messy is good. Got to remember, I'm all about the show. I'm not about one angle or this team's got to win. Or I'm about what gives me and you, me and this audience, the sexiest, juiciest, most interesting topics. Folks, that's all I'm about. Whatever that means, that's what I'm about. Within our solar system, right? Within our college football solar system. At the end of the day, that's all I pull for. All the other stuff is just extraneous noise. That would be interesting if Mr. Tom Ohio State gets his way there. We'll see. Josh up in London, Ohio. Welcome in, sir.
I believe Mike Tomlin referred to the USC job as a joke.
Something like that, yeah. People were sending me the audio clips, and I obviously wasn't watching it live, but his reply was about like I thought it would be.
Yes, sir. Speaking of jokes, did you see James Franklin's press conference yesterday, not knowing who's playing this week?
guess who sent me the clips of that, or sent me clips on it and then commented on DM? Yipsy Terry yesterday was all over this. And he was sending me notes on Twitter. It was funny. Tell everybody what happened.
Well, so that clown had his press conference yesterday. And like three times throughout the entire press conference, he said all he was worried about was Illinois this week.
Not only that, but he called the horseshoe the big house.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, he completely screwed it up. He has no clue who he's playing. His mind is not with – he's just not with it this week. I mean, what the hell is going on in Happy Valley right now? Maybe it's not so happy over there.
Maybe he's on the phone too long with Jimmy Sexton every day.
Maybe he got into my stash and smoked him a little too much. Jesus, Bill, I don't know what to say. Maybe he's already conceded that he's going to get throttled this weekend, and he's already looking for his way out.
Very unusual behavior there.
Yeah, well, he is right about one thing. He is going to get throttled this weekend. And I hope it's ugly. Here's another thing. I'm going to bypass the Penn State game and go on to the end of the season. You know, he waved his white flag last year to get out of that game. We haven't forgot about his little comments last year accusing Ryan Day of some foul play. And Ryan Day said he was going to put 100 on him. Well, that game's coming. We haven't forgot about that. And I can't wait. Bill, love you, brother. Appreciate everything you do. Be good.
Josh up in London, Ohio, checking in this morning. Yeah, that press conference, just if you haven't seen it, search James Franklin. Just put in James Franklin and it'll pop right up. Whether you do it on Google or if you do it on Twitter or wherever you search at, that will pop right up. For sure. Jay Cutler's burner account. Bill, LSU people will probably tell you that Belichick reached out and begged for the job, and Scott Woodward said he had to interview like everybody else. He says you cannot spell delusional without LSU. Wow. Okay. It's getting spicy this morning already. It's spicing up. On this Wednesday edition, Brett Ciancia. You hear that? That's Brett Ciancia on deck. Brett Ciancia is in the queue. Pick six previews. Hope your Wednesday starting off well. If you're not up yet, you're going to have a bad day. You got to get up. Folks, if you're going to have a good day, you got to get up early. I know it's hard for some. You got to get up. Get moving. Get the show on. This show will give you energy. Motivation, whatever you do for a living, it'll get you going. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning in Dixon County. Still trying to clean up that accident on Highway 96. It's going to be near Church Street and still slow go in Benton County as THP works that wreck on 40 eastbound at the 132 mile marker. That's going to be before you get to the Tennessee River. That's got traffic really slow go in that part of Benton County right now. Traffic's on the increase, 65 coming down through Madison. Gatlinburg Wine Cellar is home of the world famous cotton candy wine. Log on today, GatlinburgWineCellar.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
The Locksmith Company, our full-service locksmithing expert, is reminding motorists to slow down on our roadways, keep an eye out for kids at play, and never text and drive. This message is from the Locksmith Company. For all your residential, commercial, or automotive locksmithing needs, call today for a free estimate or 24/7 emergency service at 931-801-5427. That's 931-801-5427. And visit thelsco.com. The Locksmithing Company.
you have a 90% chance of surviving a lightning strike. You have a 98% chance of surviving a shark attack. You have a 99% chance of surviving a snake bite. But you only have a 50% chance of surviving a crash if you aren't wearing a seatbelt. Your truck may be tough, but a seatbelt makes it tougher. Buckle up in your truck. Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
Over the last several months, you've heard me talk about golf, and in particular, Riverside Golf Links. It's at 640 Old Hickory Boulevard. Earlier this summer, I went out and played, and I found out for sure that the things I've been saying to you in the commercial were absolutely true. So I want to take this and go one step farther. As the weather gets a little bit cooler, you might think about next year in golf, tournaments you might be involved in, tournaments you might set up. Let me strongly suggest Riverside Golf Links. I did this with a friend earlier, and they got it all set up, and they'll be playing a tournament next year. They've got 27 holes. You can simply go to riversidegolflinks.com or give them a call, 615-847-5074. It's golf the way you want it at Riverside Golf Links.
Get all your NASCAR news every weekday right here on The Final Lap. Hey, it's Kerry Murphy, and the season of Kyle Larson continues. Ninth win this year, third in a row, and up next is Martinsville Speedway, which is going to be crazy. He's the only one locked in for Phoenix. Everything else is up for grabs. So you grab all the latest NASCAR news, race recaps, driver interviews, stats, and info every single weekday right here.
Hi, this is Kyle Larson, and you're listening to The Final Lap with Kerry Murphy.
Every single weekday right here.
Number one college sports show on the planet, The Bill King Show.
Ciancia Wednesdays with us, and Brett, week nine is upon us. What games stand out to you?
Well, thanks for having me on, and this upcoming Saturday, it's really Big Ten weekend. When you look at these matchups, we've been waiting to see these teams face off for a while now. Just the way the schedule was laid out, where you had the top four in the East, Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan, Michigan State, none of them have played each other yet. There's been no round robin, no inter games there. So finally, that begins. You have Penn State and Ohio State, which has historically decided the East and essentially the conference the last 5 to 10 years. Then you have the Michigan versus Michigan State, the Paul Bunyan Trophy. One of the biggest ever in that rivalry. Just to have them both in the top 10, both undefeated, going to be special there in East Lansing. And every pregame show in the world is heading over there. I don't blame them. So those are the two headliners, but even within the Big Ten West, Iowa, Wisconsin, and if you love defense, if you love slow play, if you love punting and field position and old 1980s, old 70s football, this is your game. It's the lowest over-under total of the year, 37 total points. Ohio State might get that in a half in their game, but in the Iowa-Wisconsin game, that's the total combined for the game. I love both styles of ball, so it's going to be a great weekend.
What about the cocktail party down in Jacksonville? Florida plays up in this game, in your opinion?
Well, this one's lost a little bit of juice for me with the way that Florida's season has turned out. It showed a lot of promise early in the season, opening up with some wins, and then the way that they played Alabama, I was thinking that we had maybe a top 10 team with the Gators at that point. The way they were able to put up 250 rushing yards on a Saban defense. Of course, that was one of Florida's former weaknesses the last couple of years, was establishing a true run game. And they were able to do that. But fast forward a few weeks here, and the hot seat's getting a little hotter down there in Gainesville for Dan Mullen. A couple losses now tacked on since then. No, I think Georgia really continues to roll here. what we're seeing with Georgia is a historically great defense. You know, you hear the word elite thrown around a lot every season, but we truly have an elite defense here at Georgia. It's the lowest, the fewest points per drive, if you want to look at it that way, since that 2011 Saban defense. And it's even surpassed that. So this is special. I think Georgia wins and covers the 14. I think you have a national title caliber team with Georgia.
Brett Ciancia, every Wednesday, joins us. Tom over in Myrtle Beach posted this earlier on Twitter. And I don't know if you've taken time to think about this yet. I really haven't. But it's about time to start considering. He says, I'd love to see a situation, guys, where the College Football Playoff Committee and also the networks, etc., panic because Cincinnati, Wake, they're undefeated at the end of the regular season. Oklahoma's undefeated. Ohio State, Bama, and Oregon have one loss. He says, and let's say Georgia gets a loss. How would they sift through that and find four? And would they leave out Cincinnati and Wake being undefeated?
Wow. Well, that's a crazy scenario. You know, the special thing is that it's taken all the way till late October to do the playoff scenario guy, which is, you know, it's fun in late November, but I hate when that kind of clouds over the whole season. So it shows you how special it's been of a year that we just are getting into these. But no, I think it's a great one. No Power 5 team that goes undefeated and wins its conference will be left out of the playoff ever. It doesn't matter what logo's on the helmet or what jersey they're wearing. The only case that would happen is if all five leagues, all five Power 5s emerged 13-0 and won their conference title games. But that's not happening this year. So Wake Forest, as crazy as it sounds, they control their own destiny. If they go undefeated, they're in the playoff. That's the end of the discussion there. From there, though, yeah, that gets very interesting. I think that you look at the SEC winner. You said that in your scenario, Georgia gets a loss. If that comes to Alabama in the title game, then Alabama gets that spot for sure. And then you start to work through the leagues. Oregon would have that head-to-head over Ohio State. They say they use head-to-head as one of their criteria if the teams are closely matched and closely ranked. So if you have Oregon in the same tier as Ohio State, then they would get that nod. Then it comes down to, do you take a Big Ten champ, Ohio State, with a loss that went through a gauntlet of a season? By the end, you know, by the time we get to December, they'll have played, I think, five ranked teams, or maybe it's actually six if you look at the way this is shaking out. So I'd take Ohio State over Cincinnati, and that might not be popular. I know that Cincinnati is becoming one of the America's teams this year, but just looking at it from the committee's perspective, I wouldn't be surprised if next Tuesday when those come out that they bury Cincinnati down at something like 8th or 9th and just leave them there for the rest of the season. That's what they've done to former undefeated teams like UCF over the years. So there's that first poll comes out, there's always discrepancy between the AP and the committee.
Georgia dog down on the Emerald Coast. Ask Brett. He says, looks like perhaps JT Daniels starts Saturday for Georgia in the cocktail party. Does that make a difference?
Yeah, it certainly does. I think that with JT Daniels, now assuming he's fully healthy, that's going to be a wild card. I don't know what percentage healthy is, but assuming that he's at his 100% there, he brings a new element to the offense, a higher ceiling than Stetson Bennett. And, Bennett he's done fine. It's not the reason, he's not holding them back, but I think to unlock a playoff tier, a higher ceiling, that you need JT Daniels firing on all cylinders, like he's shown at times late 2020, when he took over the last four games and at times this year. So yeah, that's huge. Now, I don't think that it sways the game result. I think Georgia wins regardless. But that'd be certainly great to have him back in the lineup and start to get more of those offensive pieces back, to really see this whole offense come to fruition, because it's a national championship defense right now. It's one of the best defenses, like I mentioned, of the decade. Now, if you can just get an above average or even great offense, then you're talking about a playoff or a national title team.
Brett is up in Pennsylvania, so we have to go in the Penn State direction with the next question. It was revealed that James Franklin has changed agents from Trace Armstrong to the mighty Jimmy Sexton. Now, both of them are very famous agents, but Jimmy is the king. Now, James came out and said, look, that was not recent. That happened over the summer. But nonetheless, he's made the change. And then that audio clip of James Franklin talking about this weekend coming up, mentioning Illinois, who he's getting ready for, called the horseshoe the big house. His behavior is a little bit, maybe more than that, erratic. Aliquippa Bob says, ask Brett if he thinks James Franklin coaches Penn State next season.
Yeah, well, Aliquippa Bob, great question here from the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. You know, one of my close colleagues up here in the region and close friend, really, Dave Jones, he found that, he put out that tweet yesterday about James Franklin's press conference. And yeah, that's really embarrassing. You know, this is a coach who's one of his mantras is always tweeting out the next opponent's team name and saying 1-0 this week, that kind of thing. He uses all these, motivational tools, and you know, they're great sometimes. But at the press conference, to mention Illinois instead of Ohio State, it's your biggest game of the season, Ohio State, and just seems unfocused. I don't know where his focus is at, and you can obviously speculate where it is. Maybe it's in Southern California or Baton Rouge. So it just is a bad look, and that's been a distraction all year for the team, quite honestly. It's brought up at press conferences every week. It's on the national headlines of the national shows, and it's all over Twitter. So, yeah, it's been a distraction. And now that you have your second loss there on the table for Penn State, playoffs out of the discussion, Big Ten East is mostly out of the discussion. You're going to need to beat Ohio State a few times here, get down the stretch, or else they'll be boxed out. So they're starting to lose all their team goals. They're losing focus. Yeah, I would predict that he's gone. I mean, I think where there's smoke, there's fire. I've been hearing for years about his mutual interest with USC as a destination job. So if I had to forecast it, I'd say he's out of Penn State next year. But that's on no inside info. That's on no sources. That's just kind of a gut, the way this has, you know, been unfolding the last year or two. So, but I think lost in this whole story, it's kind of shocking how Penn State as a head coaching job is being stepping stone, if you look at it that way. If he does flee to USC or LSU and just leave Penn State behind, that's kind of crazy to think about. You're talking about usually a top 10 program, top 10 head coaching job. Just no one's talking about it, just if they're about to be stepping stoned.
Well, and that is always been known as his dream job. And now he's been there, what, 8 years? I mean, that's a nice stretch there, but you probably don't leave your dream job unless something's going on.
Yeah, right. It's interesting. We'll see how it unfolds. And another thing to consider, too, is just how well he's recruited here. I know that there's been some complaints about him in-game or X's and O's or maybe even some coordinator hires in the past that have missed, but the one thing you can't deny is that he elevated Penn State's recruiting profile to its greatest, possibly ever, locking down the town in Pennsylvania, but also in the DMV area, the Northeast, North Jersey, really hitting home all over the place. It's evidenced by his 2022 recruiting class, currently number 3 in the country. That's just unprecedented for Penn State. So what I'm getting at here is, if he does leave, what does that do, first off, to that record-setting class next year? It probably hurts that big time. But also going forward, their dominance in the region, is that started to be tested by some upcoming programs in the area? I mean, if Virginia Tech hits a higher, Rutgers loves Shiano, and they love their home state there in Jersey. Loxley down there at Maryland has top 20 recruiting classes year in and year out. We'll see. Now, it's a stretch to see, but I wonder, with him gone and their recruiting profile falling down a bit, do they lose their stature as the second team in the Big Ten? We'll see.
Some words from you on Texas Tech and their recent coaching decision.
Yeah, I'm shocked by that. Just so many ways to be shocked about it. I mean, first, the timing. I mean, they're sitting there 5-3. They're a win away from bowl eligibility, which would be their first in a long time in the post-Mike Leach era. So if you're looking win-loss record, that's surprising. On the field, they've played well at times. Their offense has exploded a few games. I know they had a meltdown against Texas, but for the most part, this is not a fireable offense kind of team this year so far, 5-3. I had a chance to interview Wells, and I think that he did, he's doing a great job. He was a great interview. Seems like a great guy, and gave good answers, was very thorough. And I just had the feeling that they were really close. If you look at some of their scores the last couple of years, they were closer than their record would speak to. So what I'm getting at is I think there might have been something behind the scenes in terms of they have a guy. They must have a guy that they were interested in and needed a reason to to move on from Wells. So I don't know. I really have no idea. It was quite a shock. The timing of it, the record he's got this season. And it makes me wonder if they have somebody lined up.
Bratziancia, Ole Miss and Auburn, what happens there?
Yeah, well, I really like Ole Miss. I think the wrong team is favored here. Ole Miss has impressed me all season. Their offense, obviously, is the headliner. Matt Corral is a Heisman candidate right now, the way he's playing. You know, and their defense has made some gains from last year. That's where they were really a one-sided team last year. It was offense only, but you're starting to see the defense catch up a bit. I think they're a legit top 10 team, top 12 team, and I think they go on the road there and get a big W and continue to push for a New Year's Six bid in Lane Kiffin's second year here. So, yeah, give me Ole Miss, give me that offense, and, you know, Auburn's been hit or miss too, so I like Ole Miss, really. I think the wrong team's favored.
Fighting Irish coming off, at least for a while, maybe their most complete game. Southern Cal, not all that. I'll give you that part. But Notre Dame, North Carolina, and Notre Dame's only about a four-point favorite in this one.
Yeah, so this was one of those picks when you look way back at my preseason book in August. It was kind of foundational. I had said that Notre Dame was going to go through a transition season. I had them down at 24th nationally coming into the season. And I had UNC very high, winning the ACC, one of the only, if not the only, book out there to do so. You know, both seem to have missed. I'll admit when the misses happened. But Notre Dame, if you look at their September, they really could have taken some losses, and that pick might have been closer than we're giving it credit for. Now, give them credit that they have bounced back. They've really, you know, strengthened into a top 10 caliber team. So credit there. UNC is really just one of the most disappointing teams of the season. I had them coming in as one of the best offenses they have been the last couple of years under coordinator Phil Longo. The way he draws it up has been special the last couple of seasons. I think I didn't account for the loss of personnel receiver. That really took a hit, losing two of those guys, highly drafted, two of their best receivers ever. You know, you've watched some of UNC, their new receivers are unable to get separation as much as you'd like. And that just kind of throws off everything. Howell's taking a ton of sacks. You know, and just when you watch them, they don't have the energy, the killer instinct that you'd expect from a team that was preseason expected so much of. So here it's a really tough game to forecast because UNC, they can go off a game or two and put off 60 points. They also give up 59 a game. You know, so it's going to be a shootout, I think. Higher scoring than most Notre Dame games go. I think Notre Dame's a safer pick, though, at home and just a proven track record, while UNC's a bit volatile.
Down to seconds here. M. Roos in Cincinnati says, ask Brett, does he think Matt Campbell would go to Penn State after James Franklin chases the L.A. money?
I don't think so. I think that Matt Campbell's been offered a ton of high-profile jobs. He's stuck in the Ames. He looks like an old-fashioned program builder. He will be there for a while.
Tell everybody how they can get your content, your stuff.
At Pick 6 Previews on Twitter. Thanks again, Bill. Appreciate it.
All right. There he is. Bratziancia. Every Wednesday does a really good job. I think if Matt Campbell does something, it's the NFL. I don't know that it's another college job. He doesn't look at it like we do. He makes a lot of money, too. Got a really good AD there, Jamie Pollard, and he is so safe. I don't think he leaves for something we perceive as sexier, unless it's the NFL. All right, we'll get the break. Coming right back on the Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. Watching traffic volume pick up quite a bit now. Coming out of Smith County in and through Wilson County. OHB at Juarez Drive, that's over in Hermitage. That wreck is in its clearing stages on the west side. They're putting the final touches on that crash at Harding Pike at Brook Hollow Road as we watch traffic build out of Dixon County right now. Coming down I-40 there at 840. Hey, Gatlinburg Wine Cellar is home of the world-famous cotton candy wine. Log on today, GatlinburgWineCellar.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Hey Nashville, get ready to party Smashville style. On February 26th, the Nashville Predators will make history with the first ever outdoor NHL game in Tennessee. as they host the 2022 Navy Federal Credit Union NHL Stadium Series. The Preds will take on the back-to-back Stanley Cup champion Tampa Bay Lightning in front of 70,000 rockin' fans. Visit nhl.com/stadium-series-tickets.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance, it's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-668-0042. 800-668-0042. 800-668-0042. That's 800-668-0042.
For those of you over 40 years old, I want to talk to you about Soltea. It's been proven to help lower cholesterol, lower blood pressure, and encourage overall health. If you're lucky enough not to have heart disease, keep it that way. Start taking Soltea today as a preventative. And right now, listeners to the show, save 25% when you go to Soltea.com/radio to get started.
He's back and we've got him. The George Plaster Show.
Hold on, who is that person?
That was me. Over the bag of Cheetos.
Terry, how long have you been on radio in this market? At what moment do you think when you're doing a live bid, it's okay to open Cheetos on the air?
What in the hell?
Live, local, George Plaster. Weekdays starting at 2 on WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
Call 615-844-5600. Get in on the Bill King Show.
Blake Rapino, top of the hour, Wednesday edition. No cab up in Chicago. Bill, the Spun is reporting Art Briles is being mentioned for the Texas Tech job. I think Karen mentioned that yesterday on Twitter. Now, on the field, dude's a really good coach. The off-the-field mess, he's still pretty radioactive now. Some of these situations that are different, I'm not comparing them at all to Art Briles, but let's just say something happened. Something happened, whether it's recruiting or something personal, and that radioactivity wears off some. Whether it's Baby Kiff and just his old bratty ways, which he's not that way much anymore. Now, he likes to get on Twitter and likes to poke fun, but he's not the same brat that he was, okay? I think you're watching that. And dudes, is resume building, is anybody resume building better than Baby Kiff right now? From where maybe he was rehabbing in Alabama to where he is now. It's like Paragon SC up in New York City, who's a big Trojan fan, big Southern Cal fan. Bill, this is the Lane Kiffin we wish we had. He's resume building big time. And I don't know if he plans to use that to go somewhere else. That's unclear. But he's not radioactive the way he was when he got fired on the tarmac. Hugh Freeze isn't as radioactive as he was when he got fired at Ole Miss. And it was really weird and really awkward. And Remember that press conference before he got fired? It looked like a hostage stage situation. It did. And the looks on the faces and everything, it was just very awkward. But he's not as radioactive. Art Briles, you could say, will remain radioactive. Now, again, I don't know what Texas Tech is going to end up doing. I don't know that. And that report might be right. But if you're going to consider Art Briles, you have to sit down and map out, here's how we're going to react to the news and the criticism that's going to come with this. You're going to get local and you're going to get national heat for making this move. Whether it's right or wrong, whatever your opinion may be, you're going to catch a ton of heat for doing this. I don't remember. He has to meet with the media, too. You hire him, he's got to meet with the media. You can't just hide him. And Art Briles, let me tell you something. Art Briles is, I'll give you my experience with him in Dallas at the Big 12 meetings. And again, I would go to Dallas as one of my stops in the summer for the media day tour. And I enjoyed it. Go to Dallas because all the media days are different. They're not similar. SEC does it their way. The Big Ten does it that way. The ACC, the Big 12, they all have their own way. They're not the same. And I like the variety. It's fun. And when I'm in Dallas, I'm interviewing all the Big 12 coaches. I've told you various stories about those trips that are all fun. But Briles is a thin-skinned guy. And we're sitting there, and we start the interview, and he says something like, yeah, people like you won't ever give us any credit. I don't even know what the hell he's talking about. I mean, literally, I don't even know what he was referring to. I'd never said something. Matter of fact, I raised all kinds of hell about the committee, and how they screwed over those guys at Baylor and TCU. Remember they played that one game that year and it went late. I mean, it was an incredible game. Those teams were loaded that year. And I knew what happened with the committee. I knew what would happen. And I told you in advance. And then he pulls some kind of crazy stunt and says something like that. I did not have any idea what he was talking about. And I thought, frankly, I usually don't. I've talked to you about this. I usually don't take things personally, because this show, I mean, you're out there, man. I mean, you're opining every day. You're going to get criticism. You're going to get critiqued. You're going to get questioned. That's part of it. That's fair game. I kind of took offense to that. I didn't know what he was talking about. I didn't interrupt the conversation to ask him either. I just moved on. But to this day, I won't forget that. And I haven't thought about it in years. It just came back up because of the Art Briles topic, but dude's a bit quirky. Also, I don't know if I've told you, have I told you this story? Art Briles, during his playing days in college, he's also endured some traumatic experiences. He is playing in college, and every time he would look up in the stands and see where his parents were, their seats, they would always be there to see him play. I believe he was a wide receiver. And there becomes a Saturday where he's playing. This is early 70s somewhere. Maybe mid-70s. And he looks up, doesn't see his parents, finds out after the game they've both been killed in a car wreck on the way to the game. Art Briles has been through a lot, and he's also been accused of a lot. I guess is my point. Anyways, I know that was long-winded. Back to Texas Tech. I don't really know what they're going to do yet. I think it's unclear, but yes. No, Kev, I've seen that too, what you just pointed out. We'll get another break. Coming right back. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. Watching traffic volume pick up quite a bit now. Coming out of Smith County in and through Wilson County. OHB at Juarez Drive, that's over in Hermitage. That wreck is in its clearing stages on the west side. They're putting the final touches on that crash at Harding Pike at Brook Hollow Road as we watch traffic build out of Dixon County right now. Coming down I-40 there at 840. Hey, Gatlinburg Wine Cellar is home of the world-famous cotton candy wine. Log on today, GatlinburgWineCellar.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
This is Brett Musburger's Action Update for WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio. Simple Green is perfect for making your auto, RV, cycling, boating, and other sporting equipment look like new. Visit them at simplegreen.com.
NBA tonight, the Memphis Grizzlies going on the road to face the Portland Trail Blazers. Memphis is a 2-point road underdog, the over-under 234. College football, Tennessee is on a bye week. They will return a week from Saturday, November 6th, on the road against the current number 12 team, Kentucky. Elsewhere, Vanderbilt, a 16-point home underdog against Missouri in Nashville. The Braves took a one-game lead in the World Series with a 6-2 win Tuesday. Tonight, Atlanta, a plus 100 moneyline underdog, the Astros minus 110, the over-under 85. Jose Urquidy started for Houston. Max Fried will counter for the Braves. For VSIN.com, I'm Trey Westerberg, Nashville Sports Radio.
What's your excuse for not dealing with your addiction problem? Is it time or money? If it's time, you're allowed to take time off and not lose your job. And let's be real, man. To deal with addiction, you need to get away for 30 days. So is it the money? Many private insurance plans will pay for treatment. In fact, some cases up to $30,000. I tell it like it is. You are being lazy. Call right now and let one of my addiction specialists help you figure out how to get help in just a few days. We've got the time and the money part handled. Now it's your turn. Pick up the phone, call the Detox and Treatment Helpline, get clean, get sober. Don't waste another day. I promise you, this call will change your life.
800-209-5173. 800-209-5173. 800-209-5173. That's 800-209-5173.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast for this morning. Sunshine, highs today around 68. For tonight, showers likely, mostly cloudy, 55. Showers and thunderstorms for Thursday, highs 65. Showers for Thursday night, lows 50. Showers continue into Friday, highs 59. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio WNSR, this is Rocky.
Sports Radio WNSR.
He knows more about the oblong spheroid than any man in America. It's Bill King.
Topwater assassin over South Carolina. He's a big Clemson fan. And shockingly, he doesn't have a whole lot to pay attention to because Clemson is not chalky at the moment. Not chalky at all. Says Bill Sheba. Now he's going crypto on me here, and I appreciate that. He said, Bill, it's up almost 10 times in the month of October. That'd be about like, he says, Tesla going from 70 to 700 in 1 month. He says, I've sold half of it already. Don't really trust it, but it's been a hell of a ride. No good for you. I wish I had some. I didn't get any. I also didn't get Tesla Friday, which I should have. And I was looking earlier this morning at the pre-market, and Tesla's wanting to run again. It's 1,033 right now. Those options I told you about that expire on Friday, have been up as much as 50 times in one day. That was Monday. Yeah, that was Monday. They're still up about 15 to 20 times right now. Now, you've got the time erosion and everything else. So if you have some of those right now, I'd start peeling those off today. I'd start liquidating those. Maybe leave you a couple of lottos in there, but I'd start liquidating those. That's what I would do. That means if you put $1,000 in there on Friday, if you cashed out at its peak, you'd have $50,000. Now, again, who hits it at the peak every time? That's hard. You don't want to try and time the peak, because that's a losing situation. Take your profits. So he's doing the right thing. I wish I had some Shiba to where I could brag to you about it, but I don't. Josh in London, Ohio. Bill, you don't know a damn thing about football. Cowherd knows more about college football. Jason, Hawkeye Jason. Bill, before anybody takes that tech job, somebody needs to talk to Suzanne Tuberville. Get her thoughts on living in Lubbock. Well, how about when Tubbs was on with us? And he sent out that plea. He was not happy. Remember that at the end of the call? Bill, I'm way out here now. Don't forget about us out here now, Bill. Remember that? Wow. I haven't kept up with Tubbs. Is Tubbs staying out of controversy in the Congress? Or I don't, day-to-day, I don't keep up. So, is Tubbs doing okay? I do. I love me some Tubbs now. You know that. Love me some Tubbs. Aliquippa Bob, welcome in, sir.
Good morning, Bill. Well, I listened to Brent Ciancia, and of course, I didn't listen to Franklin's conference, his press conference yesterday, so I could only imagine. But a couple of thoughts, Bill. I got to thank Franklin, who's very calculated from the PR standpoint. I got to think that he's kind of like saber rattling a little bit, because I had listened to Chris Landry yesterday, and he said there's some unhappy folks in Happy Valley. And then I had also heard through the grapevine that there are some boosters that are not very happy with Mr. Franklin right now. So I'm kind of wondering if that wasn't calculated, his comments about Illinois. But, Bill, I agree with Brent Ciancia. I think Franklin is going to be on his way out. And I said this over the non-playing portion of the season. I said, if he stubs his toe during the season, two bad years in a row, people are going to start to catch on to him. And I said, they're really going to start to look at him in a hard way. And he's going to leave town before they get to him. But, Bill, the thing I got to disagree about with Brent is I don't think Penn State's a stepping stone job. And I'll tell you why. They've had, since Joe Pa left, you've had Bill O'Brien and James Franklin, right? And O'Brien, he was in there during all the turmoil, and he locked horns with the administration. There were promises broken and such. And Franklin's been there for 8 years. But here's the thing that's unique about Penn State, Bill. If you look at Penn State's location geographically, there's no potential for a school to be a major elite power within a six-hour radius of Penn State. You have Columbus to the west, which is 6 hours away. You have Clemson to the south, maybe North Carolina, maybe Va Tech. Those schools are all six-hour drive away. And within that radius, Bill, is the very fertile, lucrative Delmarva recruiting region. So, Penn State's in a process of upgrading their facilities, and I think that's got to be attractive to any coach that comes in. So I don't see them as a stepping stone job. I've got to disagree with him on that. And I do think whoever comes in is going to be able to recruit fairly well, unless you're like a Dan Mullen. Would you agree?
Well, when I was listening to him, I didn't take it that he necessarily said it was a stepping stool. I took it as him saying it's being used by some as a stepping stool. I don't know that he endorsed that line of thinking. That's my interpretation now. He lives up there, so I think I think historically he's pretty connected with Penn State. But, hey, regardless of what happens, they can go get a good coach. It really doesn't matter.
Yeah, I kind of agree. I still don't see people looking at it as a stepping stone. Not quite yet, Bill. So, all right.
All right, Bob. Thank you. Yeah, appreciate the call. Blake Ruffino, when we flip this page to hour number two. We busted a couple of grapes. We don't have enough for some wine yet. I'm not a wine guy anyways, but we busted a few grapes. We'll get more done next couple hours. Blake Ruffino, Are You Serious is his site. Are You Serious Sports. We'll talk about that. Omni Nashville, Pull Tell.